Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
To the answer. hands for Jesus. Are we having a good time?
Oh, yes.
Are we having a good time?
Yes.
Today is the day your ministry began to expand.
Amen. Professor.
Today is the day your ministry began to take new territories.
Amen.
People who knew you as an elderly man thought that your ministry was finished.
Professor.
What they don't know is that there was an Art of Shepherding conference on the 29th of July. And there you received new equipment to take new territories. Your ministry will not be the same again.
Amen.
Let's agree. Our ministries must not be the same again. There is nothing like one player who enters a game. He changes the entire outcome of the game. Just one player. One young man who is entering your ministry work. One young boy. Some of you will be looking for me. Okay. You'll be looking for me. He said, Bishop, what did you see? I saw the chapter in the book. That's what I saw. Clap your hands for Bishop Dag.
What a blessing.
I saw it. There are, some of you, your churches are just waiting for one girl who will be a leader of the outreach group so that your wife can retire.
Yay.
Your wife can retire. If you feel like you stop the preaching, you can tell me. One player Messi went to America to join a new team. What's the name? Inter Miami or what? Yeah. That team. The last 10 matches, they had scored 6 goals. 10 matches without Messi. 6 goals. Bottom of the league. First one match, he has brought 4 goals. 10 matches, 6 goals. Your ministry is changing.
Professor.
Your results are changing.
Amen.
A young man coming into your church is going to rally the young girls and boys.
Amen.
I said your ministry is changing.
Amen. Professor.
The music ministry in your church is changing.
Amen. I receive
this type of Abawahana songs that Auntie Rose has been singing for the past 6 weeks.
Yeah.
A new girl is coming with nice voice.
Amen. Prophesy.
Abawahana. We used to sing it in the 70s. Abawahana. Kasatabaya. You know what I just saw?
Prophesy.
Right now, I saw somebody's church.
Oh, professor.
In a classroom.
Hey.
I saw somebody sit in a class. Suddenly, the chairs disappeared.
Hey.
Right now. The chairs, it's like a download. The chairs vanished and there was a heap of gold.
Wow.
In professor. That classroom.
Professor. I receive it. Professor.
And the gold was under the foundation. All this time it's been there, but the chairs vanished. The Motoguzi chairs
vanished. And some machine has brought out all the gold from under. So that classroom is now going to occupy cathedrals in 10 cities.
Amen. I receive.
And the gold I'm seeing are the young men and the young women in your the same church. You are not bringing anybody from Asasewa.
No.
The same church. Can you clap your hands? Sometimes there's a flight and hijackers like you take over the flight. But what they don't know is that there is a mercenary inside the plane with a gun.
Come on.
He gets up and he begs them that he's going to the toilet. As soon as he's about to enter the toilet, he just takes one of the guys into the toilet and meows the neck. He meows the neck. And puts the boy's, the person's head in the toilet. Then he collects his gun. Then the movie has now started. Your church has now started. I said, your church has now started. Receive a brand new church. Receive a brand new church.
Professor, work it. Work it.
To hijack means to seize control of a vehicle. Especially to force it to a different destination. That's what you have done to your church. You have hijacked the church. Even the topics you have been teaching, they are relevant topics, but how you are teaching it. You need a young man to give the, see, the members, they don't understand the examples you use. Gramophone and the telephone, that is, you are dialing. When a young boy is preaching, he will use Instagram and all these new things. You don't know these things. So your examples, they can't relate with it. You are saying I should stop preaching?
No, preaching. You said I'm preaching.
Ah, okay. Masataka bayade.
Oh, work it.
There's a pastor here. Your church has got about 15. Less than 15. It's about 11, 12 members in your choir. A young boy is going to take over the choir.
Jesus, professor.
And the number of the choristers will be 70 on a Sunday.
Amen. Professor. Professor. Professor.
That boy is going to mobilize the young guys to get them to bring. I'm going to have a camp with all the young men and women in your churches, not UD churches, all of you who are not in the UD. I'm gathering all the young boys and girls.
Wow.
And I'm taking them to Mampong. By the time they come back,
hey,
you should be looking for another church.
Professor, working.
So, Minia, ministry is very nice, though. Ministry is very nice. It's nice when you know exactly what to do and you receive counsel. You are getting counsel.
Amen.
You have no idea how important you are. You are very, very important. Without you, that church will be destroyed. But your place is not on the pitch. You are not supposed to be playing. Even the size of your stomach alone will not allow you to move on the pitch. You should be sitting on the touch lines and giving direction. Move here. No, you get up. You come on. Yes, move. You sing again. Stella, go and sing. Francis, go and take over that basenta. That's what you should be doing. Today, the ministry of all hijackers has ended.
Amen.
pilots are taking over.
Amen.
There's a boy in your church. He came to see you. He came to see you that he wants to either serve God or do ministry or be with you. Or a young man has come to you, but you didn't mind him. You.
Professor.
He came close to you, wanting to do, wanting to get involved. But when you look at him, you despise him. I mean, not this man, not him. You, in this captain, you. Yeah. You are the hijacker.
Professor.
Has anybody come to you before? Has anybody come to you before?
Yes.
Please give me the microphone.
Yes.
Hold the microphone. I know the pastor.
Yes.
Who is that and when?
Somewhere 6 months.
Six months ago?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
Yeah, he came actually within short time and he left. He didn't tell me, but he said he would come back, but I didn't know the reason.
When he came to the church, did he have any chat with you?
Yeah, he came, but actually when he came to me, he said he wanted to serve God. Actually, when we went to...
You are a hijacker. I said you are a hijacker.
The conference we had,
At OEB?
Yes, I
brought him. You were
there? Yes, I was
there. Clap your hands for him. And you brought him?
Yes, I
brought him. And then he ran away?
Yes, he ran away.
Because you did not care for him well. You didn't father him well. You didn't shepherd. It's called shepherding. You should have called me.
Okay.
To ask me, what do you do with this boy?
Okay.
Sir. By this time, he would have been sitting next to you. Okay, a new one is coming.
Okay, sir.
In 3 months.
Okay, sir.
A young guy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Prophet. Yeah. Come on. Mandala Baba. Professor.
You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Let's get on with the work. There's work to be done. All hijackers are handing over the keys. Hey, I've never had a one-day beautiful conference like this. It's nice, pa. Very, very nice. Hey. You know, I'm so glad you came. I can't believe I'm ministering to a room full of grown-up pastors with churches. I want to see each of you next week at Mampo. If you don't come and I get you. If you don't come to Mampo and I find you, I would rather hijack you. Can you clap your hands again? It's beautiful. You see, I gave you 6 reasons why young people are despised. But I want to give you right now 7 reasons why young people are useful in ministry. Just a quick one. Why young people are useful in ministry. And it's all here. The art of shepherding. Number 1. Young people are special and useful because Jesus Christ was a young person when he started his ministry. was young when he started his ministry. You are waiting to be 30 years. 30 years is an old man. Jesus did not start his ministry at age 30. Age 30 to 33 and a half was a 3-year phase of ministry. Wake up. Ministry is in phases. Is in what? Phases. The 30 years he started was the final phase. It is on record that Jesus began his ministry at age 12. It was when he was 12 years that he told his mother, "Did you not know that I should be about my father's ministry business?" He was about his father's business at 12. Read your Bible carefully. Ministry is not preaching. Ministry is not gathering people in a room and taking pictures. Sorry for shouting. Let me go and stand behind the pulpit and breathe in and out. There is something you do before you gather people. You don't start a church by starting a church. You don't do what? You don't start a church by starting a church. You start a church by doing the Father's business for a long time. It is the Father's business that ultimately leads you to a church. It is the Father's business that ultimately leads you to the gathering of 12 disciples, 70 disciples, 5,000. When you see a man with 12 disciples, 70 disciples he can send in twos, he's preaching and there are 5,000. He began his ministry long ago. Jesus' ministry was not for 3 years. Wake up! He began his ministry 18 years before. He called one disciple. What is ministry? What is the Father's business? What was he doing at age 12 that he said was his Father's business? Was he doing outreach? Don't you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Do you read the Bible? At what age did Jesus say he was doing his Father's business? Ash, to Paul Francis? Oui? Ou non? Ash, douze. So my friend has finished. Sit down, let me speak the English. Someone should interpret that thing. He did his father's business for 18 years before he was 30 years old to call Matthew and John and Bartholomew Abba. 18 years. He began his ministry at age 12. What was he doing at age 12? He was sitting in the temple. My God, it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. That is the Father's business. You do this one for a long time before you rent a classroom. Wake up! Those who haven't done this business, when they start a church, it doesn't grow.
A 30-year-old man starts ministry. By 32, he's gathering 5,000 men. He's walking on water. Do you just get up and walk on water? Get up and go. Look for a swimming pool and walk on it and see. No, I'm saying that there must be a hotel. There's a hotel at Pantan Junction. Go and walk on the swimming pool. Next verse. Look at it. Who's that person sitting there? Are you spiritual? And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Say understanding. You go and smoke weed. When you are tired, you say God has called you to start a church. You go to, you impregnate girls. You fool around nightclubs. The one you are tired and you, because you wasted your youth and you can't find a job, suddenly say you are now a pastor. So today, fetish priests become pastors. Magicians become pastors. And you too, you have joined them. How many years have you spent doing the father's business is not preaching. The father's business is not preaching. The father's business is not outreach. The father's business is not visitation. The father's business is this. Go back to 46. Hearing and asking questions, getting understanding. So his parents found him in the temple. After 3 days, and his mother was very angry to see the boy sitting in the... They have been looking for him for 3 days. How many days?
3 days.
3 days. And they found him hearing and asking questions. 47. They were astonished at his understanding. 12 years. 48. His mother said to him, Jesus, why have you done this to us? Why did you walk away from us and you didn't tell us? Your father and I have been looking, because the man was so bored that he didn't want to speak. No, if the man has spoken, you'd have slapped the young man. Have you not seen that? Normally, there are some problems in the house. It's our wives who handle it. Because when you come in, you can hit somebody with a glass vase. The man was quiet. And his mother said, your father and I have looked for you sorrowing. 49. He said to them, how is it that you were looking for me? Don't you know me? Are you not the one who gave birth to me? Are you not aware that I must be about my father's business? 12 years. This is ministry. Anybody who does ministry without doing the father's business is going to run the ship aground. Ministry is done by young people, and Jesus was 12 when he began the ministry. You don't start ministry by doing evangelism. You will sit in a room hearing and asking questions. And because you have annoyed me, I'm doing 2 chapters at the same time.
We love it.
I'll take 1 point here and I'll take the next point. So I'm doing two. Seven reasons why young people are useful in the ministry. And then I'm doing seven ways for young people to develop confidence. Two chapters at the same time. Seven reasons why young people are useful. And what's the first reason? They are useful because what? Ministry is done by the young. The first way to get young people to have confidence is this. Number one, young people can get... So, open to two pages. Yes, we are having a conference. One page is seven reasons why young people are useful. And the other page is seven ways young people can gain confidence. If you are confused, go to the washroom and come. Since you are constipating. Number one, young people can gain confidence by reading a lot. Knowledge comes by reading. And that is how ministry begins. Start your 12-year-old daughter on the road of ministry. Not by asking her to go and do outreach. Somebody sent me a text today. Yesterday night or this morning. Asking, he said he has gathered some people. I wish I could find the text. I don't know him very well, but it's a nice text. He's gathered young people. I think this morning I saw. He has gathered young people in his church. And he's asking me what he should. He says, he said 12 to 14. I didn't even know I was coming to preach, but come to think of it. This was before I came to church today. And he was asking me, what should he do with them? He was asking me, what material I would like to suggest. Which books would I recommend for him to use to bring up these 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds? And my response, I can't believe it, that these things, I can't believe I'm being... My response was that, let them start Bible study groups immediately. They should have, get them Bibles, get them devotionals, and let them have Bible study discussions for 2 years. You don't carry 12 years old and 13 year old and you send them to go and do outreach and go and start Bacenter. What if somebody kidnaps them? And what do they know? Anybody who starts ministry by starting ministry will fail. In Matthew 28, Jesus sent his disciples, go ye into all the... You hardly have to start something by doing what you've been told to do. There's always something you do before. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. As soon as they got up to go, he said, sit down, tarry ye here in Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. You don't start by starting. You don't start by starting. The reason for failures in the ministry is that the people who are on the ground hardly know one verse of scripture. All those years I was lying in my room in my father's house on the floor with a broken ruler and a red pen and a blue pen underlining Isaiah. That was the father's business. The real father's business is not a crusade.
If you've not studied, what are you going to say at the crusade? Because you see, true ministry, that's a spirit led. It is when you see the people that the message even comes. Any pastor here who is spiritual should raise his hand and say what I'm saying is true. That you prepare a message. Sometimes you even start the message, but within 10 minutes, you see that the thing has turned left. Because the people sitting there, if you are spiritual, you will be ministering to their needs. And their needs are not the 10 points, but the needs are what the Holy Ghost is whispering to you. If you are spiritual, you will agree with me. So no one dares to preach who has not encountered the Holy Ghost. Never substitute the right things with exceptions. I'll take it again. Never substitute what is right and right with extreme exceptions. The fact that the woman of Samaria met Jesus at the well and within 2 hours ran to the town and brought all the men with towels around their waist does not mean that a neophyte has a right to take on the weights of ministry. God is sovereign. The fact that he has asked someone to go and marry a prostitute does not mean you should also go to Zongo Junction and go and do your selection from there. Never substitute the sensible with exceptions. There are exceptions in the Bible. Even a man like me, I always have exceptions. There's hardly anything I've said, I'm doing, or instruction I've given, hardly, that I've not called somebody by their side and said, don't do what I'm saying. Hardly. There's hardly any meeting I've called. I'm having a meeting at 4 o'clock. All leaders, then I'll send a text that don't come for the meeting. Because I know he's not well. And if I don't send him the text, he will come. But when you happen to see that text that don't come for the meeting, you see that I'm also talking to you. If you like, don't come and see. Never substitute the sensible with exceptions. Ministry is not starting a church. You don't even know how to preach. Let's take that one first. You don't know how to preach. When you open your mouth, you shouldn't produce gases. You must produce knowledge. That's why young men begin ministry by gaining confidence through knowledge. And they must be at it for years. When you take a 13-year-old girl to let her start ministry, just going about doing outreach, I don't know how to speak the English language. The father's business is the acquisition of knowledge. That is what makes a priest a priest. His attitude to knowledge. You see, you can't stay awake. You see, you have fallen asleep. Because the things I'm saying,
There's nothing in you to connect to it. You are shaking your head. Maybe I should stop this conference. I feel that I don't like the atmosphere. You know, a proper conference, there should be joy, preach on. And when I look at the atmosphere, I just think maybe. Where is Lauren? Let's reschedule. Is that joy?
Oh, yeah.
Let your 10-year-old son start the ministry now. Gather them to be ministers. And they start ministry not by doing outreach. They start ministry by studying the word of God. Understanding how to even explain a verse. That's a father's business. Not outreach. Stand anywhere and say Jesus began to do ministry at age 30 years. When you read the Bible, don't take sentences and use it as doctrine. Ministry is reading. Ministry is what?
Reading.
And number two, they gain confidence by listening to messages. Number two, young people can develop confidence by listening to messages. CDs, those days we had CDs. I don't know. CDs and watching videos. Cassettes. Ministry, real ministry, is done by listening to messages. It's not done by filling a bus with people. How do you fill a bus with people? A young boy, 17-year-old. And the girls, you are in the bus first. And the girls are coming into the bus. And as they are coming, they are bending down. And the breast is coming out. And shepherd, you are looking at the breast entering the bus. Breasts are entering the car. Without knowledge, you hold one. There is nothing on earth as comfortable to hold as a breast. There is something about it. And a 17-year-old hot-blooded boy, he has brought the bus, but the driver is there and he has gone inside and the girls are coming. I'm not saying that he's outside, because if he stands outside and the girls are entering and they are bending to enter the bus like that. Don't do that. Before you start ministry, you ground yourself. You establish yourself. The Father's business is the knowledge you acquire. Goodness gracious. You want to raise Basenta leaders, send them to Mampong. Give them 5 camps to soak for 3 months. Every session they listen to, they fill a Google form. You don't go by going. You go by sitting down. Wake up. Don't send them to go. Jesus, the one who said go, he said, tarry ye here. Online. Is anybody online? Am I alone? Is anyone online? Type, I'm here. you've collected 13-year-olds in your church, and you've put wristbands on their heads, on their arms, and you've taken them to town to go and do what? They are going to come back with pregnancies. And these are the things that make them feel puffed up. When they come back with buses full, they feel that they are more powerful than these bishops with 16 members in their car, in their cars. Maybe it's been a car. Yes, it puffs up. Feelings a 30-year-old shouldn't have. Feelings a 26-year-old shouldn't have. They are having it. It took 18 years. How many years?
18 years.
This area, should I end the message?
No.
You don't feel at this time. I should continue teaching.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. When I see him, I feel like young men in our churches, we must give them the confidence. The girl, gather them. Form Bible clubs. Bible clubs. Book clubs. They should be good at looking for Ezekiel. They should know what is in John. We are not making them theologians. They should be conversant with the content of the word of God. They should know how preaching is like by listening to preaching. It is what you hear that you say. Anybody who doesn't hear cannot speak. Imagine catching 13-year-old girls, seven of them, and till they are 15, they are into books and the word. No outreach. Then they start by 15 years. They'll be walking on water.
Mm. Oh, yes.
They'll be walking on water. You cannot even walk on dry land. You are falling away. On dry land, you are falling. Because you've not taken time. You've not spent time. Nothing is done by doing it. There's always something that comes before doing what you must do. You don't build a house by building a house. You will build a house by saving a little money, at least for sand and stones. As you have gone to rush to the land, what are you doing there? Are you a foreman? I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. Me boha, na ma boha. You need to be there with me. I know you're preaching. It's a type of preaching. Seven reasons why young people are useful in the ministry. One, young people are special and useful because Jesus Christ was a young person when he started his ministry. Timothy was a young man. John was a teenager. These guys were young boys. Number two, young people are useful in the ministry because they have a lot of zeal. No. Somebody with zeal without knowledge, and somebody with knowledge without zeal. I'll pick the one with zeal. The one with zeal. Because as he's doing it, he will learn. When a person doesn't have zeal, you've met your meter. I'm telling you, when someone doesn't have
zeal. Zilch zeal. Zilch zeal. You don't want to meet somebody who doesn't see why. Why? We close at 3 a.m. Why should we come at 8? What if he knew he was going to start at 8? He should have ended by 9:15. When should we even, when do we get to our house? And when do we sleep? Yes, Daniel, they behave by heart. Because they're an authority, they behave by heart. And even the Pharisees, when you look at Luke, that's not how they behave. And John said the same thing. He quoted Ezekiel, that the one who wakes up early with a shout has cursed his neighbor. Oh. So already it's like you have rubbished the move of God. But thank God. When somebody has zeal, hey, pastor, I want to do it. I don't know what to do, but you as I'm going, tell me. As I'm going, tell me. We need young men who may not know anything, but they are willing to learn. They have the energy to go. I prefer them to a pot-bellied old man who cannot move. Cannot move. Can't even move. 10 times. I said, if you have got zeal without knowledge, and somebody with knowledge without zeal, he's just there. And those people, anybody with knowledge without zeal, 100% he's a critic. So you are not just looking at somebody without zeal. You are looking at a critic. In case you don't understand critic, it's a criticizer. They will find fault with anything you're preaching. Your examples will be taken as a personal insult at them. Any window you give, they will attach their names to it. Have meetings, caucuses to discuss you and take you on. Listen to me, I said, knowledge is a very dangerous thing. When Jesus Christ met Pharisees and a little boy, who did he choose? I said, when Jesus met Pharisees and a little boy, who did he choose as the example to follow? Pharisees? A person with zeal and no knowledge is useful. We can do more with him than a person with knowledge and has no zeal. That person, you must actually overcome him. He is not going to move, but you must overcome his presence. His presence in the system slows the momentum. Her presence in the system makes you want to have meetings in the toilet and meetings at the car park and have meetings around her. Because the other, look, listen to me. Jesus said, he who does not gather with me is neutral. It's neutral, not so. He who does not gather with me is neutral, not so. Yes. You don't want to have someone who has no zeal to gather. No matter the knowledge he has. And as we all get older, as all of you grow up to my age, watch out. You may not know, but you are slowly metamorphosing. You are slowly morphing into a critic. Take this one home. Anyone who does not act when a system is acting naturally becomes a critic of the establishment. If you are clapping, clap your hands.
Never did. The only person you must have favorable thoughts about is the one doing it with you. When you turn, the sister with you is the right person. She's the right person. Anybody sitting down must not be viewed as a neutral person. They are evil critics. That is why I'll prefer your son to a theologian. And by the way, God is always doing new things. Things that are newer than the knowledge he gave you. Oh, another problem we are going to have is that God, what he said yesterday that was right, may be wrong today. So anybody even using knowledge, especially if it is archaic knowledge, stands the risk of becoming an antichrist, an anti-anointing, an anti-church. I'll take it again. There's hardly anything that is true all the time. There's hardly anything. You can't catch a girl, a 15-year-old girl, and say she cannot have sex. You must tell her when she cannot have sex. Because your words as a mother will ring in her soul till she dies. The man who marries her has married her with her mother's advice that she must not have sex. That's right. A girl is not supposed to have sex when she's not married, yeah. But when you marry, hey, use a ladder, hey, get ropes, hey, use a belt. Hey. I'm preaching. I said, I'm preaching. I said, even the knowledge you have is relative, it depends on when it is useful. When it is useful, Bishop started. Gave us a new way of building a church. It was called Shabby Shepherding Must Go. One pastor, when he heard it, he said, what is all this 24 campaigns? When we have been using PVCI to build a denomination of thousands of churches, what is all this? Then he started. He said, things come and go. Let's stay with what we know. Beware of people who have had prior knowledge of anything. They are the resistors of the new revelation about to come. I will choose zeal any day because Jesus chose zeal when he had the chance to choose between zeal and knowledge. So even the knowledge you are carrying is archaic. Read Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3. It's the preaching of Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2 is the summary of the preaching of Jesus. A lot of Jesus Christ's problems were all from things he was preaching about that it was the time to do. But those who knew something before were fighting him because they were not expecting the opposites. Opposites. Look at it. All these are opposites. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. A time to plant. When do you plant? When do you pluck? So which means you can't use. So planting is not the only revelation. Plucking is also a revelation. Embracing is not the only revelation. Refraining from embracing is also a revelation. So anybody who is only into embracing is into error. Beware of your knowledge. It's costing you more than you know. When God sends a man with a voice, like next week at the Give Thyself Holy, we are going to hear new knowledge. Be very careful what your attitude is. It will be. The fact that God said it doesn't mean it is true today. Hello? You don't seem to understand English. Should I do tree? Is there any interpreter? You understand English? As the fact that God said it, that's not mean it is true today. It's the time that determines what is right and what is wrong. It's when you are doing what you are doing. His mother told him, there is no wine at the wedding. He said, please, we don't do that. I beg you, mommy, we don't do that. 2 minutes after that, he was calling for water pot. You can do something 2 minutes before the time, and it is as evil as not doing it at all. Say zeal. Pastors, I'm advising you, choose zeal any day. Leave these old critics, old members. Well, I was in a certain country, I don't want to mention the name in public. The pastor has moved from the church. He has started another church in some slum. He said, it's a fad. He said, this place you have come to preach today, Sunday, the people sitting there, you don't know them. They are critics. I said, no wonder today the message I preached was very hot. He said, why do you think I asked you to preach to them? I knew that you had the medicine for them. He said, they are backslidden. They can't move. That's why. He said, next time I'll take you to my... Or this is not my church. My assistant is the one pastoring this church. Do away with the critics without anybody in your church. Who is old faithful members. Honor them. Give them tags. Write on it, old and faithful. Let you hang around their neck. Give them tags, old and faithful. Every Sunday, buy minerals, Malta Guinness. Share, as you are preaching, give them glasses. They should be drinking. And build the church with the young ones with zeal. It's a new season. It's a new season. We need to close. The time is up. Number 3, young people are particularly useful because they have more faith in the word of God than in the man of God. And in the man of God. Young people have more faith in the word of God and in the man of God. That's why we will choose. Because the old people, they have experience. And experience is anti-rima. Anti-what? Rima. Any new word that comes, the experienced guys have a reason why it cannot work. Young boy, he doesn't even know anything. So what you are saying is the first time. That's all he knows. That's all he knows. All he knows is that he must wear this and with a t-shirt and wear that and go. But you, when he hears, but looking at the weather, the meteorological service said that the weather will be hazy and that a 57% chance of rain. And also, these costumes, when you go to the world and they see you, they will think that you are from a nightclub. And manya, you can hardly do anything with older people. Hardly. If you find an older person who is flowing, you have found Tanzanite. Wow. Sapphire. And no, don't, we can't blame them. The experience they have is also important. I'm also like that. I am a man of great experience in the ministry. And that experience can be what will make me fight my pastor if he ever dares to come up with a new idea. We speak Arabic and neutralize the vision. Faith has always been for young people. I told you in the first session, the onus of faith is not old men like you and I.
You should see a young boy, that a girl, even as she is passing, she looks at him and smiles and says, I'm Shirley. He will turn his neck out till his neck becomes stiff. And the little man, you are Shirley. You love me. Charlie, it's bad. It's very, 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 very bad. Can you stand up and clap for young boys and girls in your church? We are celebrating them today. They are our heroes. We like them. We are old, but we see that they are great. They know nothing. That's why we are giving them 3 years of soaking CDs. 2 years of only Bible study to add Greek and Hebrew. But you too, there was a time you also didn't know anything. Today you want to add Spanish to your preaching. Señor. Number four. Young people are useful because their sexual drive is actually a symptom of their strength needed to do the work of the Lord. It takes a little thing for them to pick the presence of God. I mean, you can't. The rate of having erections is proportional to the rate of having revelations. An old man will look at the Bible and go and eat and come back. No revelation. And he will look at it because as he has seen that verse, his knowledge of the scripture in Ezekiel is fighting that verse he has seen in Mark. The same way when he's also with his wife, you must bring generators and water pumps. But a young man, he doesn't know any Ezekiel. That verse, what he's saying, that is it. He's going with it. What God is saying, that is it. Jesus said, except you change yourself to be like this little child sitting here, you, with your beard and with your knowledge, you will never enter. Their sexual drive is a representation of their readiness to drive a system. Channel it well. It is the duty of a father or a mother to channel the interests. When your child wants to watch TV, don't you put David and Goliath in front of the child? Or you don't do that. Your child wants to watch TV. Do you put pornography in front of the child? You channel that interest into something useful. You don't put a movie where they are using knife to kill. The next day you come, your son has a knife, if you like. He learned it from TV. David, put it down. I should put what down? So the drive, you and I must channel it. It's energy. It's really energy. So you channel it. Let them form musical groups. Music groups. Form choirs. Outreaches. Send report. By the time they get home, they are so tired that they sleep and wake up. That's what we do. And the next thing is that you, the father, must arrange early weddings. Early wedding and guide him to proper girls, not witches.
They don't know anything. All they know is skin tone and sizes. They don't even know when a girl is rude. Most of these young boys see a rude girl as rather a forward girl who is very adventurous. But you, the old man, when you see us, hey, this girl, pepe ambia. But he has seen an adventurous girl. Yeah. So not afraid to speak her mind. That's how I want her to. I mean, Betty, she's straightforward. I like her approach. She doesn't go around and beat about the bush. The first day she saw me, she held me by my belt and pulled me towards her. That's the girl. She's strong. Can you imagine this girl in my bedroom? What he doesn't know is that a girl who can hold you by your belt and pull you is about to remove your belt to shape you yourself in the bedroom. But a father, through his guidance and his experience, I said you are important, but also know that they are also important. Your knowledge with their zeal will be a very major combination. The devil will be very, very afraid of. I said, may your knowledge and their zeal be combined. Don't be in the church with your knowledge alone. And allow them to go to town with their zeal. They will bring outdoorings that you are not ready for. They bring what? Are you happy you came? Number five, we are ending. Young people are especially useful because they do not have many financial problems. If I say right now, I'm sending someone to a branch to go and start a branch somewhere. I mean, I'm looking at a man as he's standing there looking at me. He's asking me, so where is the money for my son's school fees? Where is this for my rent? Young boy, no. Any day, he will sleep anywhere. He's not saddled with the care of a woman. I'll prefer to send your son 10 times before I think of you. I mean you. Because as I'm sending you to Asan Kregua, I'm sending a man with four gramophones to transport the four gramophones to Asan Kregua. His wife. The wife's shoes. Hello. The shoes. The cabaret and slate. The other children she has gone to. The wife has got four nieces. So as I'm moving them, I'm moving a village. But your son, he's alone. He's going like that with energy. Onunkwa. Onunkwa. May your young men be engaged. I said, may your young men be engaged. They may need money for airtime. They may need money to buy batteries. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not financial problems. You can't even move him because he has taken a loan from GCB. He's still paying. He's taking a loan. So with his anointing and knowledge, the ministry is at Asan Kregua. We can't send him. Because he has to be here and pay the loan. If they can't catch him crossing borders, they will arrest him. I won't even suggest that he should go. He's paid the loan. So when you see a young man, you've seen possibilities, capabilities, abilities. You've seen potential. You've seen greatness. You've seen your future. You've seen a vessel you can fill. You've seen somebody you can deploy. May the young men in our churches be deployed. You don't have any financial problems. Number six, young people are especially useful because they don't have children to look after. As we are sending the girl to the next town, she said that she's doing antenatal at Dodua Hospital. Antenatal alone has ended it. Ah, you are pregnant? Yes, I'm pregnant. Oh, really? Okay. That's all. It's over. But a young girl with a flat stomach, that is where she's really going to get a husband. You've not seen the problem of a man with children. And the children don't want to go. One girl asks her father, "So daddy, when will we have a normal life?" The father looked at her. He had nothing to say. I asked him, "So what was your answer?" He said, "I just turned away." But he said, "We are going. We are going to that country." When you see a man with problems, you have seen times seven. The young people in your churches, without children, without beloved, they have nothing. That is the person you must send. I send this man now to go and have outreaches for a convention we are going to have. As he's going, his son will call him that he has fallen down, his leg is broken. Then from there, he's going to 37 to the emergency. So how's the outreach? Oh, I'm at 37. 37 for what? My son fell. Problems. Your son fell. I'm a Christian. Why should I say you should go and do outreach when your son has fallen? I'd rather find somebody who doesn't have a son who falls. Who, when he even when he himself he falls, he'll be limping to go and do the work. He himself has fallen. You don't know zeal. You don't know zeal. Children are a problem. Remember, a lot, I don't think you've noticed it, a lot of the people who came to Jesus, they didn't come with their own problems. Even yesterday I read one. Yes. My son, my daughter, my son, my daughter, my son, my daughter. Then those who are rich have got servants. Those who are centurions can pay others. My servant has this, my this is that. All. But the young man who comes in here alone, he's alone. If your problem is actually to get him to marry, everything is cheap. Accommodation is one room. Car is one seat. Yes. If I send this man, I must pay for 7 seats on a bus. In-laws. Because his mother-in-law is with him. I mean, the mother-in-law alone, the look on her face that he's going to ask, "And where cry, where go?" with my daughter. They're not serious. Young people, number 7, are particularly useful to God because, it's a word, baby girl, it's a word. Young people are particularly useful to God because they will have enough time to begin and complete God's commands for their lives. Enough time. Imagine getting a 17-year-old boy to go to a place. He has enough time. If he's 50 years in that place, it means he has spent 33 years. What are you talking about? Say, how old are you? How old are you, say? Yes. If I send this man to Dodua, he has only 1 year for ministry. Only 1 year. All the transportation with his family member, his mother-in-law, after 1 year, he has retired. Can you stand up and clap for children again? Clap your hands for the young ones. Stand up and clap. They are great. We need them. Anna, you are the one. My eyes are on you. Your mother, when I see your mother, I'm tired. Even my breathing changes. When I see your mother, my breathing changes. Problems every day. But you, when I see hope, ministry, preaching, anointing. I mean, your mother, even how she's coming at me. I say, please, go back home. I'm having a good time.
having a good time.
You send a man to go on missions. After 1 year, he sent you a letter that this is the age of retirement. 1 year?
But a young man, a 21-year-old, an 18-year-old, he has time to be there. He has time to preach. He has time to make mistakes. He has time to learn. And by the time he's at the prime of his age, he's anointed. And the work he does is work he'll be doing in your name. I said that the peak of your honor is what your sons and daughters will provide for you.
No man, hey, hear me online. No man or woman has what it takes to peak. Every man's peak is determined by his sons and daughters. Anybody you know who is great in this world is great because of
his ability to use sons and daughters, her ability to deploy helpers. No man on his own has ever been great. Read history. And now let's come and finish with how young men can gain confidence. Let's look at the 7 ways young people are useful. Number one is what? 7 reasons why young people are useful in ministry. Number one is what? Young people are special and useful because Jesus Christ was a young person. How old was Jesus when he began his ministry? 12 years. Nespa? Who you know? Hey. Which one is me? Jesus was 12 years. He began his father's ministry business at age 12. I'm having a good time. Number two. Young people are useful in the ministry because they have a lot of zeal. If you have a chance to choose between zeal without knowledge and knowledge without zeal, which one will you choose?
Zeal.
You choose what?
Zeal.
You look confused. Number three, young people are particularly useful because they have more faith in the word of God and in the man of God, because really faith and experience have inverse proportionality. The more experience, the less faith you have. The less experience, the more faith you have. It's a good message. Beautiful. I'm having fun. I'm having what?
Fun.
The scarves, are you from a special group? The scarves is from a special ministry. Is that accidental? Beautiful. It's very nice. You look beautiful. Yes. If I catch any young girl wearing scarf like this, if I find you. Allow the elderly women to show nobility and the majesty and honor of age. Cut your hair and color hair red and green. I said what? Cut your hair and color hair red and hair green. And let's go and serve God. You're going to do Pompidou. I saw a girl, a young lady, she had gone to, you know, this type of hair that they pull at the back, and there's a pony at the back. I mean, there's pony and there's pony. Ah, I said, is this a whip? Is this a whip or a hairstyle? Are you going to beat somebody with this? You look like a horse galloping somewhere. I shouldn't say this. A pastor shouldn't speak like that. So even I should stop preaching. Number four, young people are useful because their sexual drive is actually a symptom of the strength needed to do the work of the Lord. That's a symptom of strength, and the strength is needed for the ministry work. Number five, young people are especially useful because they do not have many financial problems. This airtime units, it's nothing. You is rent and lactogen and one car, school fees, tie, carburetor, school fees, rent. My jaw is paining me. I mean, problem. When you see a grown up, you are looking at problems. And we need it. That's how we. And the problem, most of us, our problems are not even personal. It's our children, our nephews, our this. We are important. We are important. There's also another scarf group at the back there. There's a bigger group here. Clap your hands for them. Beautiful church. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Chaboy! 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 Examinaminae!
Young people are especially useful because they do not have children to look after. One child, a sister of mine, she's been in the hospital in Kolebu for the past 3 weeks. She began in another hospital, a grown-up with work, a job. She's now living in the hospital because of a child. I say it again, most of the problems of adults are not their personal human problems, it's children. So when you meet somebody who doesn't even know what sperms are, you found the treasure. Number seven, we are ending. Young people are particularly useful to God because they will have, this one is a big one, they will have enough time to begin and complete. I sent this man to St. Gregoire. After 1 year, he says his retirement, and it's true. His retirement age, SNIT has called him to go and sign papers and take his passport picture for his pension. How can I keep him at St. Gregoire? But we are ending by looking at how young men, we've done two already, how young men can become prepared and built up for ministry. Is it a good message? Can you clap your hands? I can feel. Stand up and clap well. Put the book down and clap. Young people can gain confidence by reading a lot. Number one and number two are called the Father's business. And they do this, sir, for years. For what?
Yes.
Jesus did it for how many years?
8 years.
He also said that he entered the synagogue. He was outside. Hey, you're going to the toilet at this time when I'm preaching? Return with the toilet. That's what is happening outside here. So he entered. I'm preaching now. Are you here? I would say that he entered the synagogue. Jesus Christ. As soon as he went, he stood behind the pulpit. And an usher came and brought him the scroll. He took it. English. He said, he found the place. He did what? He found the place. I think Isaiah 54, 53. He knew where to find things. That's you don't do ministry without knowing, but he found the place like a lamb led to the slaughter. He found the place. How many pastors today can find the place? The Bible says. Ezekiel and Kana Humbeka. It's either in Isaiah or Jeremiah. If I say and I say you are either Joseph or Francis, won't you be angry with me? He found. Look at verse 16. Luke 4:16. This was my quiet time about 3 weeks ago. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and asked his custom was, where did he learn this custom? 18 years he had been going to the temple. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. He stood up. Everybody was sitting. He stood up to read. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. No concordance. No computer to type. To look for lamb and slaughter. Even with computer, we have to go and bat and come back before we find the verse. But Jesus found the place. Ministry is done by becoming conversant with the content. Anybody who has not done point number one and point number two cannot preach. Doesn't have a right to gather people. And you don't do it for 6 months. That's why we must catch them young and spend their years in the word, book clubs, quoting verses, sword drills. Beautiful. Are you angry at what I'm preaching?
No.
Number three, we are close. It's just 7 points. Young people can develop confidence by praying for wisdom. Because ministry requires wisdom. Hardly. You see, there's a sense in which ministry is like medicine. You can do 10 years of learning from the books and know all the things. But when you meet a real patient, you see that the symptom complex doesn't conform to the textbook you read. 1 in 10,000. You learn and learn, but every with the same disease, but they present differently. Hypertension. This one says it began with pain in my eye. This one says my wife slapped me, and when I fell and I sat up, I couldn't move my left hand. He has linked a cerebrovascular event with the wife slapping him. When in reality, the accident happened 4 minutes earlier. The wife just came in to facilitate the stroke. The stories are different because everybody has a different story, and that is it. You need wisdom to lead people. You cannot use how you raise this child. Even women, the woman can tell us. They should stand up. The woman can tell her, with 3 children, you can never say you raise all of them the same way. Never. One likes food. One doesn't want to eat food. One likes to chat. One is quiet. One looks like your former boyfriend. One looks like your husband. I mean, different combination. I shouldn't say such things. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. One eats, the other doesn't eat. They are different. Who is that disturbing my preaching in this area? Bishop Rory, you need wisdom. When a young man is wise, the wisdom boosts his confidence. Because they know that we have preached to them that the younger you are, the more a fool you are. A certain man had two sons. The younger was the fool. Solomon said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a what? So as they are there, they know what we think about them, that they are fools. That's why we have to lead them to have prayer meetings, to have wisdom. And when they have wisdom and they can engage us properly, they know that they are also maturing. May you lead your young ones in prayer sessions for wisdom. What a beautiful conference we are having today. Number four. Young people. Oh, I said number four. Oh, well, I jumped. So let me put number three as number four. Number three actually should have been, young people can become wise by studying history. Very important. That is what Regina was talking about. That when the young ones come on the stage, somehow they feel that they are better than the previous generation. And that pride is more injurious than the ministry, than the life they would have lived if they hadn't done ministry. I'll take it again. Ministry with a level of pride is more dangerous than smoking and womanizing. Because all you experience is a lifting, and the fall will be precipitous. Will be what? So they must learn history. They will be calm. This thing I'm doing, they themselves know that it has happened before. No, I can't do this. I can't treat my father this way. Because I know somebody who did this. History makes a person wise. Anybody who knows history is a wise person. Anybody. When we were children, how old were we in 79? Yes. 11. Yes. 11 years. We were jumping when Rawlings came to power. We had never seen a white man wearing beret. It was wonderful. His English, his energy. But the older ones who had lived in Nkrumah's time, had met Ankara and Achampong and those people, they said, no, this guy, as he's coming, he's the same. After 40 years or whatever, it's not the same. We are back. So today, as we are here right now, we hear Paul, and Oman FM. Some soldiers have taken this FM, they have taken this. There's a coup, God forbid. We who are older, say, listen, we've seen some before. It will go nowhere. Yesterday also, Nigerian president, they arrested him. Niger, 2 days ago. They were just playing with him. Then yesterday, they declared their intention. It's a coup. They've taken his own palace guards. Not some airborne paratroopers from France. The people protecting the Nigerian president. They took over. They've taken pictures. They've made declarations. I don't even know what the president is now. We who are over 50 years, when we hear such things, we know where it's going to end. Because it will end nowhere. No coup has done anything good to any country. But if you are young, just the sound of the gun, boom, 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 wow, Terminator has come. Boom, 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 Schwarzenegger, wow, Rambo. You see soldiers with them, wow, this is Delta Force. Everything is a movie. But we who pay rent and pay school fees and buy food and change dollars to cities, we see such things, we shake our head and say, look at them again. So history makes you wise, and makes you calm and makes you the person God wants to use. History. Number five, young people can develop confidence by learning from older experienced fathers. Yes. It would be unfair to make a comment on this point, about this point. So I'll read it again. If you are a young man rising up in your branch, being used by God, rather the people you are despising, go to them and learn. Go to them and learn from them. Because the father who has failed is far greater than you, because you don't know how to fail. The father who has failed and is still in the ministry is far advanced, far more advanced than you, because you only know success. You only know doing ministry with a car. The day we take the car from you, I said, a father who has failed is important to you, because from him you will learn how not to fail. Let him talk to you. Let him share his experience. That's what Solomon didn't do. He never sat with David for him to, at least not on record, about the Bathsheba affair. What happened? What time do you see women batting? What was the feeling you had? Was the erection strong? What happened? He didn't do that. All he said in his heart was that, me, I will never disgrace myself like this. So what did he do? Any woman he saw, he married. By the time he was done, he had married 1,000 women who took him exactly where, a worse place than David, one woman took him. He became an idol worshiper. The very idols that Israel was not supposed to worship. Solomon, by reason of the woman, he actually built houses for the idols. Every woman came. Some came with a river. Some came with a stone. Somebody came with water in a calabash. Everything was a god. Before he knew it, he was now a polytheistic king. He would go and do, he would bow. He would go and do salam. He would do lala sulala here. He would go and raise his hand here. He would go and lift one leg here. He would go and do sign of the cross here. He would go and put powder on his forehead. By the time he finished, he was tired. He couldn't even rule. Because he wouldn't respect his father's wisdom to sit with him. If you are a young man listening to me, you know a pastor who couldn't do ministry. Learn from him what made him fail. And don't think you are a better person. Don't think you are a better person. Number six, you are ending. Yeah, are there people on the internet? Type, I am here. Say, Bishop, you are preaching to me. And share, type something you have learned this afternoon. Everybody, type something you have learned. Let me look at it. Type something you have learned. Number six. I'm looking at the comments. Yes, I've seen one. Mm-hmm. You are here. Okay, I've seen you, Dominic. And I said you have to learn from history. Very good. Adeline says I'm preaching to her. Very good. Ernest, I'm here, Bishop. You are preaching to me. Okay, Martha, history makes us wise and calm. Clap your hands for Martha in Zimbabwe. Emmanuel Abankwa says, Bishop, you are preaching too good. Okay. Delight says, I'm here, Bishop. I say, share revelation. No, you are here. At what point was I reaching? Six. Point number six. Young people can develop confidence by surrounding themselves with wise counselors. Bring them around you. Company with them. Hello, I'm ending. Hey, hello, hello, hi. Hello, hello, hello. Do not let young people be on their own. Carry them along with you. Take them along with you. YouTube, are you there? Let me check YouTube. Yes. Yes, Emmanuel Tetzer says, history will make me wise. Even the Bible has history. Wow. In Kamsile, Ghana, South Africa. Bishop, I've learned that I have to learn from those ahead of me. I should learn from their failures. You are a wise girl. Josephine, Jan, thank you so much. I'm so blessed. Love from London. Hey. Josephine, share a revelation. And when it's offering time, give an offering in pounds. I'll be checking, Josephine. I'll be checking. Zion, Atapites, you are here. And so what? Revelation, Zion. I am here. Michelle, Ahulu. Michelle, don't annoy me. I want revelation. What you've learned, Michelle, I'm waiting for you. Number six is what? What's number six? Surround. Young men become wise. Because the company you keep determines what accompanies you in life. I tell you, Pastor, you are so important that it will be sad for you to surround yourself with Reverend Akins, Pastor Della, Pastor Prince, Pastor Francis, and you have left the young ones. Remove these people from your lives. Should I throw them away for you? Remove them and have young guys, the teenagers. If you are going for a convention, go with them. But make sure it's not just one girl with you. Because man to man is not just. Have a group. Company. Don't move with these people. Look at them. Don't move. A man whose beard is even gray. That's extreme. What do you want from him? Do you have young guys in your church? Are they with you? Do you move with them? You move with them. And as you walk with them, you talk to them. Sorry?
We eat together.
No wonder you are looking like this. I've never mentioned food. I'm surprised that you are mentioning food. But you must eat with them. That's a good point you have raised. You must eat cake and fish with them. Clap for him. Michelle, I'm waiting for the revelation. Michelle, I'm waiting for the revelation. And number seven, finally, young people can develop confidence from the mistakes of the people just ahead of them. The mistakes of someone just ahead of you reveals the location of pitfalls. They will show you what to avoid in the future. My dear friend, I'm saying that the young men, the real work we have to do is to organize them into Bible reading armies. organize them into message soaking groups. Give them something to go and listen to. And they come back and share. And you teach them. Watch videos with them. Build the word in them. Teach them wisdom. Teach them humility. Before Jesus sent his disciples, Mark 3 and 14, he brought them around him that they might be with him before sending them. Never send anyone you have not thoroughly and exhaustively imparted the knowledge of the word, the knowledge of the ways of the world, the knowledge of wisdom, the knowledge of the things that are necessary for ministry. Never catch a young boy and send him out to destroy himself. Remember, the Father's business is not preaching, it's not teaching, it's not crusades. The Father's business is hearing, listening, asking questions, interact for a long time, so that when they enter the synagogue and they are given the Bible, they can find the place. Stand to your feet. Yes. Michelle's mother has rather given a revelation. Replace the old people around you with young ones. So, Sophia, I'm going to replace you. Yes. Tell Michelle I'm waiting for her revelation. Can you lift your two hands? And thank God for today. What a beautiful day. Thank you. The message will be on the podcast. Tomorrow on the podcast, go back and listen to it.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen again. Form groups. Oh, yes. No young girl in your church must be left alone. Any young girl you know who is bad because you neglected her. Be careful. Lift your two hands and let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes.
Keep praying, pray, pray.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom.
Now, I want to ask for the last time to pray for any young man you know in your life, any young man, even your children. Your son, your daughter, that boy in the church, those boys in the church. Some of you already have got so-called youth ministries. Mention them by name and pray for them. Begin to pray now. Pray. Lord, we lift up the young ones.
Oh, yes.
We lift them up, Lord. They are the future of the work we are doing. Our sweat, our pain, and all our difficulties.
Yes.
And because the young ones have been neglected. Lift your hands and pray. Mention them by name. Mention your son by name. Your son by name. Your son by name. Ayaya bada baba yandala baba. Rano simiandala baba ya matonde debosa. Imbato samayande mayandala baba. Rama masuma yike bo yande mayandala baba. Amanda mayandala baba yandala baba. Imayande mayande mayata dala baba yandala baba. Yana masune ni mama yandala baba. Iya maradusa marababa yandala baba yata. Imayandala baba. Lift your hands and pray. Lift your hands and pray.
Lima magabala dosha ba. Lega debelebe.
Ima suta la basata. Now, Prince, come back. want you to lift your hands right now and pray for the future of your ministry. The future of your ministry. 1 minute. Just pray now. Commit your ministry. The future of your ministry.
Oh, we commit the future for
the future of your ministry.
Oh, Maha. Selekadavosha. Mandeleve. Let it be closed.
The future of Mandeleve
Kalaba. Lekadabosha.
The future of your ministry.
The future of my ministry.
The future of your ministry. You will do well.
Amen.
You will have branches.
Amen.
You will grow.
Amen.
You will be great.
Amen.
The future of your ministry.
Oh, yes.
Pray. Online, pray.
Levede do shapaketoni ma,
legede ve
mantelebe.
We baduna maya dala bosa cha. Re mama ya zambu kibaya baba baba. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, clap your hands for Jesus. You may be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makinere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.